our Advent series entitled Living Up, Sharing Our Journey with Others. The greatest act of love was when God stepped out of eternity into time in Jesus Christ to reveal himself to us. Jesus left his home in heaven and he came to live amongst us and he revealed to us what it means to love as God loves. Over the course of the past months, we've been taking a look at the contours of Jesus' life. We've been taking a little bit more of a closer look at the shape of Jesus' life to see the directions in which he lived, the investments that he made while he lived here on earth. And we saw that he primarily lived in three directions. He lived up in relationship with his Heavenly Father. He lived in close connection with those who were sharing the journey of faith. And then he lived out in order to impact the world. And this Advent season, we're going to take a look at how we can live like Jesus to live out. How we can share the hope that we have, the love that we have, the joy that we have, and the peace that we have. So the purpose of this series is really to encourage and equip us to share with others that which we've experienced in Jesus Christ. And so today I'd invite you to consider with me what sharing God's love with others looks like, which is without a doubt one of the most important values in life. It's the foundation and the starting point of sharing our journey of faith with others. Living a lifestyle of love, representing Jesus in a loving way, is really the hallmark of what it means to be a Christ follower. And let me just give you a quick biblical survey, and you can note this down in your outline there. The Bible says, without love, nothing else matters. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 and 2 say, I may speak in different languages of people or even angels, but if I do not have love, I am only a noisy bell or a crashing cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy, I may understand all the secret things of God and have all knowledge and may have faith so great that I can move mountains. But even with all these things, if I do not have love, then I am nothing. The Bible tells us that without love, nothing else matters. The Bible says that love shows that we really know God and are in relationship with him. 1 John chapter 4 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is made perfect in us. We love because God first loved us. If people say, I love God, but hate their brothers and sisters, they are liars. Those who do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have never seen. And God gave us this command, those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters. To be a loving person, to be connected to God and love other people, it shows that we really know God. The Bible also says that loving is to be our number one responsibility. Our previous series took a very close look at that, where a man came to Jesus once and said, what's the most important command to keep in the Bible? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. This is the first and most important command. And the second is like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the writings of the prophets depend on these two commands. To be a person who loves is our number one responsibility. And the Apostle Paul sums it up as he writes this. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Here's a question that we have to ask ourselves, though. What is love? What is love really? I think it's one of the most misunderstood and overused words. We use the word love for everything. Like, I love pizza and pierogies, chicken wings and chai lattes. I love hockey. I love God. I love my grandma. I love my dog. I love my wife. Not necessarily in that order. We use the term love to refer to all kinds of different things. But what is love really? I think love is misconceived in people's minds. And there are two popular misconceptions. One is that many people think that love is a feeling, this ocean of emotion, a sentimental knot in my stomach. That's love. Love creates feelings, but love is not a feeling. For those of you who are married, how many of you always feel loving toward your spouse? Don't put your hands up for fear of discouraging the singles here today. We don't always wake up feeling loving. Just going by your feelings is a very dangerous thing to do. Another misconception is that love is somehow uncontrollable. Many people think love is uncontrollable. We use the phrase, I fell in love, like we stumbled into it. It was an accident. Or I just can't help it. I'm in love. Or contrarily and devastatingly, I don't know what happened. I just don't love him anymore. I just don't love her anymore. As if love is somehow uncontrollable. And this is just not true. What does the Bible say? What does God say love is? Two important things to note. Number one, love is a choice. It's a decision. Paul writes to the church in Colossae, he says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. The context of this verse is this. It's talking about getting dressed here, about putting on various virtues, clothing ourselves intentionally with compassion and kindness, and above all things, love. I mean, you have a choice in the morning to get dressed or leave the house just wearing your boots. Right? You have a choice of what to put on. You have a choice about the attitudes you put on when you get up in the morning. And the Bible says very deliberately, love is a decision. It's a choice. Put it on. I'll never forget proposing to my wife, Shauna, trying to convince her, why won't you marry me? Is there somebody else? And she said, there has to be. She had a choice. So love is a decision. Love is a choice. Secondly, love is an action. 1 John 3 says this, dear children, let us stop saying we love each other. Let us really show it by our actions. Love is something we do. It's not just something we talk about. Love is more than a feeling, more than a thought. Somebody asked Jesus one time, we talked about this the last few weeks, what is the most important command? Sound familiar? He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God translates into loving other people. So here's the question for us this morning. If I want to share the love that I have, how do I do that? Let's take a look at six ways the Bible tells us that those of us who've experienced the love of Christ can share the love that we have with others. How can we be a more loving person? How do we develop a lifestyle of love? How do we represent Christ in loving others? The first one to make a note of is this. Accept others. Accept others. Romans 15:7 says this, accept one another then, just as Christ has accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Everybody needs acceptance because nobody's perfect. We all have our faults, our failures, our weaknesses, our hang-ups, and as a result, we all need acceptance. The Bible tells us this. It says that none of us are perfect. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We are all primarily self-thinkers, not God-thinkers. We all need forgiveness, a fresh start. But notice the basis for this acceptance. It says there we are to accept people because Christ first has accepted us. Jesus accepted people in spite of their problems, so much so that he was called a friend of sinners. That's no big deal today, but back in his day, it was a real slur. Jesus, a friend of sinners. He hung out with the social outcasts of his day, the people who were not being accepted by others. He spent time with tax collectors. With prostitutes, if Jesus were here today, we'd probably be surprised who he'd be hanging out with. He'd be with the disenfranchised, the marginalized, those who need to be accepted. Jesus accepted people. He didn't approve necessarily of what they did, but he accepted them. Approval and acceptance are two different things. Like Jesus, we need to accept people where they're at in their life. Romans 12:18 says this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Notice that phrase, if it is possible. Have you ever known anybody with whom you thought it was challenging or even impossible to live in peace? There are people in our life that we will encounter that we feel that we just simply can't live in peace with them. But it says here, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you. Why? Well, wherever two or three are gathered, there's a potential for dissension and disagreement. People often have very different perspectives on things. But we can disagree and be agreeable if we accept each other. Well, what about those truly difficult people that are tough to be around? Well, those people who deserve love the least, they need it the most. Those people who are difficult to accept, they often need it the most. They need massive doses of acceptance and love. That's what it means to be someone who shows acceptance. So if you want to live a lifestyle of love, if you want to love like Jesus, you start by accepting people. Second thing to note is this. If we want to share the love that we have, we also have to be committed to people. There's no such thing as showing love without commitment. Genuine love is based on personal commitment. Paul reminds the church in Rome, where he says to them, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. The NLT has it this way, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Commitment is a lost value in our society. Many people don't like it. Some are afraid of it. Lots of people say, I really don't want to get nailed down to anything. I really don't want to commit, whether it's a person, a program, a course of study, a career, a relationship, a church. They're like, I don't want to commit. And yet to love means being personally committed to the people who are in our life. A little bit later in Romans chapter 12, Paul writes this. He says, in Christ, we who are many, we form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. If you are a believer, you belong to everybody else who is a believer. You're not a Lone Ranger Christian. People say, well, what's the big deal about belonging to a church family? Why do you talk about that all the time? Well, belonging to a church family simply means being committed to other people. When you commit your life to Christ, you become a Christ follower. When you commit your life to other people, you become a member of a group. In this case, here, a church family. It's important because love means committing yourself personally. And if you haven't already, I'd encourage you to become committed to Christ and be committed to a church family. So if we want to lead a lifestyle of love, the Bible tells us, accept others. Accept them as Jesus Christ accepted them. Accept them unconditionally. And then personally commit yourself to them. And the third thing that we can note is that we are to be encouragers. We are to encourage other people. Paul reminds the church in Thessalonica. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up just as, in fact, you are doing. Encourage each other. Build one another up. You know, there's a couple of facts of life that you can count on. One is that everybody has a hurt. It may be hidden, but everybody has a hurt. And secondly, everybody needs to be encouraged because we all get discouraged at some point in our journey. And Christ followers of all people ought to have the reputation, that guy, that gal, they are the most encouraging person to be around. With all of the discouraging news that we hear and see, as Christ followers, we ought to be building people up and encouraging them regularly. In Paul's great chapter on love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 7, it says, if you love someone, you will always believe in him and always expect the best of him. Do you want to change how, or do you want to know how to change your relationship at home with your mate or with your children or your grandchildren? Not only treat them the way you want to be treated, but treat them the way you want them to become. Treat them the way you want them to become. Expect the best of them. We tend to live up to our expectations, and we tend to live up to the expectations of others. If people don't expect much of you, you won't deliver much. But the Bible tells us that love expects the best. Love encourages others continually. And so we need to ask ourselves, are we encouraging to be around, or are we known as someone who's a discourager? In your home, do you have more compliments or more criticisms for your spouse? With your children, do you get more strokes or do you get more pokes? Do you build others up in your circle of friends or in your place of work, or do you whine and tear them down without even talking to them? And this is really an issue of character, and God is interested in developing our character. Do you want to be someone who loves? Encourage people continually. If we want to develop a lifestyle of love, one that represents Jesus to others, it'll also mean this. It'll also mean that we have to be willing to serve them. We have to be willing to serve others. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If you're a believer in Christ, you have a spiritual gift, but you also have talents and abilities. And the Bible says that God has given you this gift and these talents and abilities, not for your benefit, but for everybody else's benefit. God has gifted me in a certain way, with certain abilities, not to bless me, but to bless you. God has gifted you. He's given you talents and abilities, not to bless you, but so that you can be a blessing to other people. Our gifts are for each other. And God does that so that we learn interdependence, so that we learn to depend on one another, so that we can encourage one another and build one another up and grow as we serve one another. Jesus said, if you want to be great, learn to be the servant of all. And when we serve, we are most like Christ. Serve others cheerfully. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. There's so much good stuff in Romans 12. You should read it sometime. Paul reminds the church again, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. He says, if you see a need, fill it. Open up your homes. Invite people into it. Serve cheerfully. Share with God's people who are in need. Grace Point is so good at this, and yet we can still become better at it. We've got some really generous and hospitable people in our church family. We're understanding more and more what it means to serve the way Christ would. That's what love is all about. There's a fifth thing to note. If we want to live a lifestyle of love, if we want to represent Christ to other people, it will also mean this, and this is a tough one, but it will mean that we need to forgive other people and to forgive them as Christ has forgiven us. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other. It's an interesting hallmark of community, that we bear with each other and that we forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. A genuine Christian, a true believer, is giving and forgiving. And that really summarizes the life of Christ. Jesus gave all he had. He gave his life for us, and he forgave all that he could. A genuine believer is giving and forgiving. Why is this important? Because it's impossible to love a person while being resentful with them. It's impossible to love someone fully if you have resentment in your heart towards them. Bitterness divides the heart. It chokes love right out of your system. And you cannot fully love one person if your heart is divided. Sometimes it's loving someone else, or it's still trying to fight somebody else. And for some people, that is the result of why they can't fully love their spouse. And it's not fair to them. They're still dealing with stuff from their past. Statistics tell us, and this is just horrific, statistics tell us that 1 out of every 3 women and 1 out of every 7 men will be abused in their lifetime. This means massive heartache. And some of those who've been hurt in their past are still holding on to the hurts from the past. And this is tough. But people can't hurt you unless you let them. People from your past can't hurt you unless you let them. And there's only one way to let go of the past so that you can become a person who loves today. And that is to forgive. There's such power in forgiveness, in letting go of the past. Your life of loving others will not improve until you get forgiveness. Until you've received forgiveness or granted forgiveness. And then you'll be blessed with rivers of love flowing into your life. All of us must learn to forgive freely. And then there's this one last thing that I need you to note down. If we want to represent Christ in living out, in living a lifestyle of love, we need to do what he did, and that is share. We need to share the love of Christ. We need to share our faith story. If you want to be like him, you need to share what he's done in your life. We talked about this last week, 1 Peter chapter 3, where Peter encourages those who are reading his letter, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You know, if there's one thing that really frustrates me, it's when believers make God or faith in God or being a believer unappealing by how they live or by how they talk. The Bible says that people are hungry to understand what God might mean for them. They're hungry to hear the good news. And that we're to talk to those people who are hungry for that with gentleness and respect. Why is that? Because no matter what a person has done, no matter what their lifestyle is or might have been, they are a human being that God has created, a person who God loves very much. And the most loving thing that we can do for this person is to love them like Christ would, and to graciously and kindly tell them what God means to us and what Christ has done in our life. You might go to work this week and somebody might ask you, listen, what motivates you to work with the dedication and excellence you do? I've seen you come across and go through some very difficult times, and you've somehow been able to be at peace and to keep pressing on through that challenge. What motivates you to be good, to be honest, to be giving, to be loving, to be trustworthy? How are you going to let them know it's the love of Christ moving in your heart unless you tell them? But in order to talk with others about your spiritual journey, you need to know where you are at in your spiritual journey. If you've never really experienced the love of God in your life, how can you share that with others? Why do we feel it's important to share this love with others? Why do we feel it's important to live out? Why do we as a church family continue to reach out and try to impact people with the love of God that is in Christ? Well, take a look at this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul tells the believers in Corinth there, he says, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. This is the motivation behind everything that we do. God loves people. He loves them. And he wants everybody to know about him. And because he loves them, we love them too. We want others to get connected to God through Christ. And that's because love leaves no choice. There's not a person that God has ever made that he doesn't love. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter that God is not willing that anybody should perish. So God wants us to lovingly share the story of what he's done in our life so that they might discover what love is. How important is sharing the love that we have with others? How important is sharing our faith story with others to God? Well, Jesus told the story of the Good Shepherd once. He said, there's this Good Shepherd, and he's got care of this flock of sheep, and there's about 100 of them. And one of these 100 decides to go off on his own, and he gets himself in a bit of a trouble. Well, that Good Shepherd leaves the 99 sheep that are together to go after that one who's gone astray. That's the priority that he places on you and me telling our story, on sharing the love that we've experienced in him with others. And people are hungry for this love. They're hungry for this acceptance, for this forgiveness, for this encouragement. And Christ's love compels us to go out and build relationships with them, to show them what it means to be connected to the love of God. My dream for Grace Point is that we will be a church family that does these six things. That this is what our church family will be famous for. See how they love others. My hope is that people will say, you know the church over there, Grace Point? That's the church where they accept others unconditionally. You don't have to have it all together to go to that church. If people cannot find acceptance in a church, where else are they going to find it? Right? You can't help somebody change until first you accept them as they are. God loves you just as you are, but his love begins to work in you, through you, changing you to reflect his character more and more. And I want to say to you, no matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your journey, what has happened in your journey, you are welcome here at Grace Point. I think God wants a church where people are accepted. We've experienced it. We need to pass it on to others. I pray that this will be a church where people commit themselves personally, where others say, you know, that church is like a family. They're committed to each other. They don't fight each other. They nurture each other. If somebody's getting unglued, they stick together. They're there. They're like a healthy family. They take care of their own. My dream is that Grace Point will be a place where others say about us, that's the church where they encourage each other continually. There's so much bad news in the world. They don't focus on that. They focus on the good news. They build each other up. They don't tear each other down. I pray that others will say that that's the church where they serve and they give cheerfully. It's such a generous church. And as a consequence, it's such a joyful church. And I pray that others will say that church over there, that's where they forgive one another freely. They don't kick you out when you've done something wrong or when you stumble or make a mistake or fall flat on your face. When everybody else walks out of your life, they're the kind of people who tend to walk in. They don't shoot their wounded at that church because they forgive each other freely, because they understand that everyone's having a tough time. But most of all, my dream is that they will say, that's the church where they're committed to sharing Christ's love with everybody that they know. That's why they exist. That's why God continues to add to their number. That's why they give sacrificially, because the love of Christ compels them. Well, how do you get that kind of love? Well, look at what Paul tells the church in Ephesus. He writes to them and he says, I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your heart, living within you as you trust him. May your roots go deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and experience this love for yourselves. If you want to become known as a person who loves, you must first have this kind of love residing and dwelling up in your heart. So today I invite you to do two things if you've not done them before. I invite you to experience the love of Christ for yourself. Realize how much it is that he loves you. If you've never experienced that, you'll have an opportunity to do that in just a moment. And secondly, commit yourself to do life together with others. Whether it's at Grace Point or some other Bible-believing church, find a place where you can say, this is going to be my tribe. This is going to be my people. Because you cannot love without commitment. Get involved. Be a participating and a contributing member of a church family. This is what love is all about. Would you pray with me? Father, we know that without love, nothing else matters. We know that to love others is our number one responsibility, and that if we don't have love, everything else is as a noisy bell or a crashing cymbal. Heavenly Father, help us to not just talk about love, but to really act in loving ways to our spouses, to our children. Help us to act lovingly towards those we work with, towards those we encounter who don't know you. Help us to love each other. I pray that this church family will overflow with your love, that people who come here will find acceptance and encouragement and forgiveness. But most of all, I pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll find you in Jesus Christ. I know that if we really love each other, then not all the forces of hell could stop what you want to do in this church family and keep it from becoming all that you want it to be. Assist us by your Spirit to be more loving this week. And for those of you who've never experienced God's love, I pray that you would open your lives to him right now. That you would just say, Jesus Christ, I pray that you would come into my heart and life. I invite you to be the number one thing in my life. Assist me by your Spirit to understand what it means to grow in your love and to live in your love. There's more to it than that, but that's a great starting point. If you'll open your heart to Jesus, he will come in, tell him you need him, and commit to living in his way and doing life together with others. And you're welcome here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you've loved us even when we were unlovely. And I pray that you'd help our church to be a loving church family. Help each one of us to share this love this week as we have opportunity, whether it's with someone at home, at work, at school, at the gym, in our neighborhood, wherever. Give us opportunities in these next days to invite someone in on our spiritual journey, to encourage them on theirs, and to participate with us here at Grace Point. We pray these things in the powerful and precious name of Jesus. Amen.